This is Tab Ramos from Inside American Soccer. The Cup has taken over the U.S. and only DraftKings has you fully covered. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. Sweat all the matches you love, all in one place with one app. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code DK1. Spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code DK1 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, that text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. February 29th, 2020. A significant date, it is leap year. At the same time, it was the note on the Doha Agreement between the United States and the Taliban, not between the United States, the Taliban, and the Ghani government in Afghanistan. This is the Trump administration, the final year of its service, signing an agreement with the Taliban. The predicate was the Taliban would then enter into negotiations for the details of the agreement with the Ghani government in Kabul. That did not happen. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing most recently at Defining Ideas for the Hoover Institution about February 29th, 2020, and the Trump administration's negotiation, and what the Biden administration makes of those negotiations when it is in authority in 2021. Yes, this is the treaty, paper, document trail behind the catastrophe of the withdrawal from Kabul in August of 2021. Richard, a very good evening to you. I started with a document rather than violence because you know very well the Biden administration's most recent 12-page document on the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan points finger at February 29, 2020. How so, Richard? Good evening to you.
Yes. Well, what happens is the criticism that was made was that the Biden administration said the Trump administration has decided to pull out. And they said that the agreement was so deep and so pervasive that there was nothing they could do other than to honor that particular agreement, which meant that they pulled out because of Trump's folly, not of their own. And so therefore, everything that happened in Kabul and at Bagram Air Force Base in August of 2021 should be laid on Mr. Trump's shoulders. To take the first part of it, at the time I thought, and I still believe, that it was absolutely stupid for the Trump administration to enter into any deal with the Taliban. The situation on the ground, if you sort of looked at casualties, showed major losses during the Obama years. And then in the last 2 years before 2020, 2019, and so forth, very stable situation, 2,500 American troops, other support personnel, NATO personnel. So there probably may have been 15,000 people in total involved in this operation, but no casualties. Because what we did is we supplied the Afghanis with intelligence on the one hand and air cover on the other. They fought the battle in the field, and essentially the situation was going pretty well. So you don't want to enter into a deal. I remember John McCain used to talk about this, and he says, the thing that you have to understand when you invade or go in to help other people in other countries is there may be no exit strategy that works. So we still have troops in Korea. We still have troops in Germany. We're actually having to reinforce our NATO situation. NATO was formed in 1949, and we're still playing that particular game. And so what happens is you never withdraw if, in fact, the casualties you sustain are small and the benefits you give to a country that you're aiding has been very, very large. That should have been the situation. You mentioned that there were no negotiations that took place between the Ghani government on the one hand and the Taliban, which the United States did not recognize as anything constantly said in the agreement. Well, that means that the condition precedent for keeping the agreement was not satisfied. And so what you do is you just withdraw. Without consequences, because you're doing so pursuant to the terms of the agreement, is not the slightest shade of a breach. They never exercised that particular option. and they never explained why it was that it was not appropriate. And so the whole thing was a situation where the Biden administration, which was absolutely keen on getting out, right, would have probably negotiated a worse agreement in February of 2020, now seizes on an agreement which gives them an out and said that they're bound to go forward. Biden had always had a long-term agenda of getting out of Afghanistan. This was not news when he was in the White House. I could recall when he used to talk about this earlier, when the Obama administration was in office and Indian direct them, he said, of course we pull out. The only thing we care about is saving lives of American soldiers. And you know, some of us looked at this and said, well, you've got an entire country of millions upon millions of people there, and you're willing to let the Taliban come back in and persecute women and children and basically lead the company to an economic disaster because you don't want to keep a couple of million dollars of people there when you actually want it? You're insane. I mean, I think his judgment on these issues is close to criminal in the way in which he behaved and thought about this. And it's kind of characteristic when you look at this pathetic document that came out, nobody had the courage to sign it because it is one of the worst documents ever prepared, a self-apology, which is shameless in its falsification of every relevant detail, both with respect to the Doha agreements and with respect to the catastrophic situation on the ground in August of 2021, where we, for example, pulled out of Bagram office, you know, airfield without telling the local commanders that we were going, without telling our NATO allies. That's nothing that was decided by Donald Trump. It was utter incompetence on the part of the Biden administration, because what it did is it wanted to pull out in the middle of the summer when the troops were all in the field. If they'd even waited 6 months and destroyed their precious calendar, the Taliban would have been out of circulation, and they might have had a chance to regroup. But this was just one piece of criminal negligence after another. And to call this thing a success is simply to defy language. You called it a catastrophic, disastrous withdrawal. Those are the right terms. And every consequence that has followed from that, going through Ukraine and through the Taiwan Straits and so forth, suggests that people now have understood that Biden is such a terrible, botched-up commander-in-chief that we might as well move very aggressively on his watch because he's too disorganized to do anything that could counter their attacks.
The document reads in part, "So we were left with a simple decision, either follow through on the commitment made by the last administration and leave Afghanistan, or say we weren't leaving and commit another tens of thousands more troops going back to war. The choice is not comprehensive, Richard. There was no war fighting going on the 6 months prior to the withdrawal. There were no need for tens of thousands of troops. Nobody was suggesting it in any direction. So what the Biden administration has done is they've constructed a fiction in order to say we choose not to go back to war in Afghanistan. It's a puzzle.
It's an outright lie. What happens is you needed to stay the course. Now, maybe you can do it with 2,500 men. You might have to go up to 5,000. But at the peak of the war, back in the late Obama years, we had well over 100,000 people in there. And at most, you probably needed a tenth of that amount to maintain things in a very satisfactory way without having serious risk of physical injury to the people who are involved. What happens is it's one thing to withdraw because you're losing. It's another thing to withdraw after you've won. And the Biden people just simply falsified the record. One of the things you would ask them, is there any battle that had taken place in the previous 3 months in which the Afghan troops had taken a shellacking? And they don't point to any such event because I believe there was none that actually happened in that way. And so what they're doing is they're manufacturing a crisis in order to justify a position that was made for very different ground. Biden did not like being in Afghanistan, period, and he would have withdrawn regardless of the conditions on the ground. And now he does this kind of weird fabrication. I mean, the interesting thing is, why is there nobody who has signed that letter? And I think the answer is nobody wanted to sign a letter which they knew to be false. It's the most shameless piece of propaganda that I've ever read in a very, very long time.
And the costs are paid by the Afghan people, not only those who helped America, guided America, translated for America, and their families left behind. Some are out now, but not all. Also, the Afghan people who are just victims of the Taliban's cruelty. It's a sadistic regime run by gangsters who are constantly in need of money, and they use violence to attain it. That is the cost of the Biden administration's withdrawal. Has the Biden administration paid a cost for this? Can you sense, is there anywhere in Washington where there is regret or we'll make it up? Anything like that, Richard?
Well, look, I think what's happened is if you look at the Republican commentary, and there was also a minority report that the Republicans issued, they have essentially from the beginning said that this was a scam and an outrage. The problem is it's not new news. And so therefore, when the administration puts this thing out, what the Democrats do, the progressives do, is they remain silent because they're somewhat embarrassed about it, but they won't repudiate it. And the Republicans say what they've already said multiple times before. So the balance hasn't shifted. The other thing, of course, is there are serious issues in both Ukraine and in the Taiwan Straits, and maybe with respect to Iran and with Israel as well, that are going to take attention. And that allows you to divert yourself a little bit from Afghanistan there. Biden administration has the conceit by taking out all our troops. What we do is we now give ourselves additional resources to fight on these other fronts. I mean, what you've done is you destabilized one front. You've lost all your military confidence in this stuff. And 2,500 troops are not going to do it in either Taiwan or with respect to the situation in the Ukraine. What the United States had to do to make this credible was to increase its military budget. We did so, but less than the rate of inflation. We now are systematically short in the manufacture of armaments that we need to help the Ukrainians. It's not at all clear that we've done that thing right. I mean, generally speaking, you don't want to be fighting a war of attrition if you can possibly help it. And that seems to be what we're in. It's pretty clear to me that the Russians will supply the troops. But the only way that Kriki regime can supply the weapon and the material that they need is to get assistance from places like Iran and from China, which they're probably doing covertly, just the way we have given overtly massive amounts of assistance to the Ukraine. But I don't have any confidence that the American leadership has a long-term plan on how to win. I think what it does is has a long-term plan on how to stay there as all of this is going on. This reminds me very much of what happened in Vietnam, where the decision was made not to attack the churches that contained ammunition, the harbors in Haiphong, the various coolies walking down the various paths to get into South Vietnam, but to confine the attack on the north to only places in the south. And if you really have that kind of blinkers, the other guys can build them very close to the theater of battle and then move into the battle zone with relative ease. And so if you really wanted to do this, you could say to the Russian, you know, you violated the territorial integrity of the Ukraine. You've got a bunch of ammunition bases within 20 miles of the border. Bomb them all. I mean, are they going to use nuclear weapons? I do not think that they want to do that. They know exactly what the situation is. And in fact, I mean, the whole situation in Europe is completely different because it's very clear, A, that the Soviets are very inept at the way in which they mount these kinds of wars, and B, they've depleted their reserves in a fairly substantial situation, and the manpower issue is going to become more and more important to the Russian. The population is declining. The birth rate is going down. Huge numbers of immigrants have taken place out of that country in order to avoid the draft and so forth. They're in a mess. Right. And so it seems to me that you really want to be pushing harder. You have to increase the American military budget. It should have been done years ago. But if we want to be able to fight two wars on different fronts, you can't do it by constantly shrinking the number of ships that you have and the number of soldiers that you have. I regard Lloyd Austin as a horrible, basically, Secretary of Defense, because he seems to think that what we should worry about is climate resilience in the year 2040 rather than the things that are absolutely in front of him today. And the Biden administration in general is absolutely hopeless on climate tariffs generally. It overestimates the risks associated with these various changes. And so it diverts resources that could be done to use something sensible into this sort of will of the ghost. So I think, in effect, the American foreign policy is very, very much shaky because we no longer can claim to be a dominant force in the military arena. Pax Americana is over. And the only way we're going to survive is our allies start to form alliances amongst themselves. And on this, it's a very bad omen that all of a sudden the Saudis are trying to make nice to the Chinese government. And the best explanation for that is twofold. One, they hate Biden because of the way in which he's abused and attacked them. He had certain justifications, but it's just the wrong way to do it. And secondly, the Saudis think that the Chinese are going to be the winners in this particular battle, not the United States. So it's a very bad scene.
Professor.
And if you... You read the report, what it announces. We have improved our status throughout the rest of the world. We're the leader of the free world. I mean, this talk is not only wrong, it's delusional.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, we're coming home from Eurasia to the Federal Trade Commission. A note. I'm John Baxter.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand, that color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.